Hello and welcome to the BS Games Podcast. I am your host, Chase, and today we're going to be talking about why is Pokemon successful? And with me today is my asshole co-host, who said I was improved for far too fucking long, Quinn.
More like accurate co-host. Anyways, if you want to give us your opinions on the topic today, feel free to tweet us at BS Games Podcast on Twitter. And anything else you want to talk about, Chase, before we jump right into it?
I think you did everything. Let's go right into it. All right. So I wanted to first talk about a little bit of our experience in Pokemon. Do you even remember the first Pokemon game you ever played? I actually know this answer. So
do you know the answer for me?
Yes, I do. I'm interested to see what you say. I don't know if you remember.
It was Pokemon Red.
Oh, you actually played Pokemon Red?
No, you didn't. Well, I at least watched you play Pokemon.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that's not the first one you got.
I want to see how specific. The one that I actually played was Yellow with Pikachu on it.
Nope. At least that's not the one I remember.
Well, what's the one you remember? Green? The one nope. What?
No. The first one I remember you played was Pokemon Gold, and I got Pokemon Silver. And to top it all off, we played it in Japanese.
Okay. Whoa. Backing up. I did have Pokemon Yellow on just Game Boy, because Silver and Gold was after Yellow, correct?
They were, and they came out earlier in Japan than they did in the United States.
Right.
So that's why I was like, well, it kind of makes sense that that may have been one of the first ones you played. Because I remember we went to the store, I think it was actually with your dad. We went to this, like, where trading card stores were like a big thing back then.
Right, and Pokemon cards were the thing.
Yeah, and so we went to this like offhand store, and we bought Pokemon Gold and Silver, and we played it in Japanese. I actually beat that game. I have no fucking idea how, because there's a point in the game where, like, you need to know what your items are. You need to know what the Pokeflute is, and I didn't know how to use the internet fucking back then. Right. So it's quite interesting, and I remember, I don't think you ever finished it, but...
No, probably not. The thing is, I haven't even finished any Pokemon game I've ever played, to be honest.
Yeah. When's the last one you played? Do you know?
The last one I played was Pokemon Sun.
Oh, you actually played it?
Yeah, I played Pokemon Sun, and then I sold it. I gave it to Zach. I sold it to Zach. But the thing is that one of the earliest memories I have of just playing Pokemon is Pokemon Green, which I think was never released in the U.S.
I bought it, the Japanese version of it,
right,
when I was a kid. It took like a million months for it to get
here. To come over.
I'll get into that later, but it's really interesting about like kind of the history about like the Pokemon games. So you have played the most recent one, essentially. You haven't played Ultra Sun.
No, I haven't. Played the most recent, but I have played the newest.
Played the newest generation.
Iteration of Pokemon. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, so what do you think about the game as yourself? Like, do you find it interesting? Do you not like this type of subgenre of essentially collecting? What do you think about it?
I think for me, it was interesting because I've never really been too into Pokemon games. Like, I remember playing a lot of them and putting a lot of time into them, but I just never figured them out. Like, I never understood why I was putting so much time in, and a lot of them were really grindy back in the day, at least as far as I remember. And it was like I was just grinding and grinding and grinding, and you'd always had like the favorite Pokemon. They'd always level up way too quickly compared to everyone else, and so you'd have to like put them as like the swap out Pokemon so that you could get something in first, and then they gain experience, and then you swap out to the stronger Pokemon. And I just remember like the gameplay loop was pretty samey, and there weren't really animations, and it wasn't anything beyond just collecting and like moving through the storyline. And I don't really remember the storyline being all that great either, because I would skip all the text.
No, they're never great. There's only been one decent one, which is in Black and White, which you did not play.
I did not play, no.
I didn't play it through all the way, which is really sad, because it's the best one storyline-wise.
Right.
I mean, they've never been good. But that one, I think, dealt with, I want to say it had to do with control of Pokemon.
Mm.
Like, why do we control them in such a way? Is it good or is it bad?
Like, we use them to fight each other sort of thing.
Yeah. But I can't remember. But, the other games did not have a good story. If you right. played the original one, it was extremely bare bones. You wanted to collect 8 badges.
Right.
You had a rival that you fought against, and then it's like, oh yeah, you need to collect Pokemon on the side. That's kind of the whole point.
Right.
And
I think really honestly, good. Like the thing I remember most is I think it was in Pokemon Sapphire. You could pick as, I think you could only play as a guy character still. And you had like white hair and you could pick a bike. And I got the faster bike, which could do wheelies. And I think that's all I really did. Like, I didn't even care about the game anymore. I was like, I got what I wanted. I can do wheelies on this bike. Nothing else really matters to me.
I was going to say that I've been very addicted to it lately. And right. that's why I kind of wanted to bring this up. So I've been playing the earliest one, the latest one, some in between. And I right. just finished beating Pokemon Y. And I beat Moon
why?
Last year.
Why did you beat it?
Why? it's because my ex told me to. No. And then I played the original Red version. And right. so, like, I wanted to do, like, some comparisons between it. And, like, it's so... Not only is it vastly different, these games, but at the same time, it is literally the exact same game. Like,
right.
You see huge mechanic differences or additives, you could say, but it hasn't changed. It's literally the exact same game.
Very right. What idea. I was going to say was that, like, as someone who hasn't really played every single Pokemon or even beaten any of them, going from the last game I played, which was like Sapphire, to Sun, the only real difference was like maybe there were like slight animation improvements, slight graphical improvements, and maybe like a feature or two added on, but nothing from the core gameplay loop really changed.
Yeah, which, and so this is what makes it interesting to talk about. So we kind of did this background precursor about our life with Pokemon to kind of understand why is Pokemon successful. Because the thing that we have, we both agree, and I'm sure other people agree as well, is that it's almost the same game. And literally, they almost reskin it in a sense. There have been changes, you know, it went from 2D to 3D.
Okay. And they're different, you know, environments and different locations each time.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get into that a little bit more. But yes, it's like it feels the same. So what are they doing right? And that's what we're going to be discussing about. So
okay, to give what you a are they doing right, Chase?
Yeah, well, I want to give a little bit of background into this capturing game. Because then I think then we can start going into the very first Pokemon game, and then we'll start working our way through. I know you haven't played every single one. I haven't. Because, I mean, first of all, there's Red and then there's Blue, and we got to talk about that. And so, but I'm going to start with kind of like some precursors to it and then work our way through. We'll get to Pokemon and then some post-cursors to it. Because there's some interesting things that happened while Pokemon was in Japan and not here. Anyways, to kind of start, the very first like recruiting / taming of creatures that at least is famous, because you know there could always be an earlier one. You never know how these things work. But the most famous one was Megami Tensei. If you don't know that game, it's basically the ones where Persona and all the other ones get spin-offs of. Okay, are you familiar? You're familiar with Persona 5 and etc.
Yeah. So you're saying this is like a this is a game that came out that sort of spurred off a bunch of different genres or different games.
Well, it was basically the very start of this recruiting / taming thing that we have today as the subgenre of collecting. You know,
right, but what does that have to do with Persona?
Persona. Persona had some aspects in it. It's not the actual entire game, but okay. Like Persona was a spinoff of Shin Megami, Megami Tensei, or gotcha. Maybe even specifically Shin Megami. I mean, there's a bunch. It's very confusing. But these were the first games that had it. And so Megami Tensei, which came out in 1987, basically you could recruit demons in your party. Okay. Mm. So this was the very beginning. And like to get a little bit more, and this will sound familiar, to get a little bit more specific into it, you would be able to combine your, like you'd be able to evolve them or like make them stronger and then combine them together to make one stronger one.
Okay.
So this aspect that I just talked about may be familiar to you in another game, but I'll get to that in a second. Some other games that kind of happened right before this, the other one I want to talk about, the big one, the friend of Pokemon. So there's Dragon Quest. So Dragon Quest V had a monster capturing mechanic.
Right.
And that one, basically you'd be able to recruit like Blob. And some other creatures. Blob is famous, the slime.
Right, the slime character, yeah.
And so you can talk to him, he's your friend, you can recruit him, and you can get other monsters as well that want to help you. So that's kind of like, it started like showing up, these type of mechanics of capturing and taming. And mm-hmm. then Pokemon Red and Green came out. You'll notice I didn't say Red and Blue. Okay. And it's because in Japan, it was originally Red and Green. Now, is there a difference between the games? Not really. That's the first interesting thing that I've seen, like, compared to other games. I have not seen other games really do this, unless you know off the top of your head.
Wait, so Red and Green don't have any differences between the games?
They have one difference. Well, two. The first difference is that when they came out on the Game Boy, there was a color difference. One was red, right. One was green. Okay, done. The other difference, this was the major thing, and they did this on purpose, was that some Pokemon were exclusive to one another.
Right.
So they actually started with this idea of having them being exclusive to each game, and right. then having you get a friend in order to trade in order to get the other Pokemon. Because right. if you recall, in these games, there's always been an ability where like you've been needing to trade your Graveler or your Kadabra for your Alakazam / Golem. And right. that has always been a thing.
Now, the anime came out before this, correct?
No. The game came out first. So the game came out in Japan.
Right.
Okay. It was then after that, 16 months later, that it came out into the U.S. So it's quite different. And then when it came out, it was Red and Blue.
In the U.S.
In the U.S. And the reason why it was Red and Blue, I think Blue, they never actually said this explicitly. Why is it Red and Blue? I think it's just because those are the two primary colors that people think about that are opposing.
Or at least in the U.S. And they chose
that in the U.S. That's my belief. Why they chose that. But the difference is they did come up with glitch fixes. So they updated it.
So they updated the game as it came out a whole year later.
Yeah. So there is differences between them, but it's not big enough to...
It's not significant. It's just patches, basically.
Yeah. But before that came out, we had something before it. And you probably remember this known as the Tamagotchi.
Right.
Okay. So the Tamagotchi was the... progenitor to Digimon. This was the little really? Thing that you would have, like, it's a little egg-shaped thing,
this little keychain thing that you have and have to feed and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah. And so this was the start of Pokemon's, like, I guess biggest enemy, even though
rival, yeah,
yeah, it's not really true, is Digimon. So with the advent of the Tamagotchi, Digimon came out. And Tamagotchi came out actually later in Japan than Pokemon Red and Blue. But it's widely believed that Digimon was essentially the predecessor to it.
Huh.
And then people believe that Pokemon was the knockoff version. And that's true to Americans because it came out so much later internationally. Or at least, I guess, outside of Japan, we should say.
And Digimon was a game first before a show as well.
Yeah, if you count, Yes, it was a game first. First it was the Tamagotchi, then it actually turned into Digimon.
Right.
Does that make sense? Because
right.
It was this weird point in the industry where you got like little gadgets, kind of like the Mr. Game & Watch games you would get at McDonald's or something like that. Like right. You had these
merchandise.
Yeah. And then you had the actual game Digimon, and they actually renamed this Tamagotchi device to a Digivice. Makes sense. Yeah. And so that's why you get this like conflict of interest, like people who like Digimon, people who like Pokemon, this one came first, blah, blah, blah. So there's that rivalry right there.
Like that, okay. So there was confusion in the U.S. market as to who was the first and who was the knockoff.
Mm-hmm. And to give an idea about like how the Digimon thing worked and why they thought it was a knockoff, if you'd ever played this, is so you had your rookie Pokemon, then you evolve it to a champion, and then its ultimate form, and then later they came out with mega forms and things like that. So it had an evolution tree, right. Essentially.
And even more focus on evolution in some sense.
And even more interesting, I know you never played this Pokemon game later, but in Gen 6, they introduced something called Mega Evolution, which were temporary evolutions. And that was something that basically Digimon was all about. You have temporary evolutions in the thing.
Right.
In the game. So you can kind of see like they do take from each other essentially. So I mean it's an odd battle between these two groups of
right,
people.
Right, right.
Okay. So what did I want to talk about? So what did they do right in Pokemon? Why is it successful? Before I get to maybe some other notable stuff. One thing I found that makes this game so much loved is that for each generation that you do, you can bring your old Pokemon to the game.
Well, how about this? Because I know I would like to give my unqualified opinion first.
Sure.
So that, because I feel like I am somewhat of a good representation of someone who's maybe buying a Pokemon game,
mm-hmm.
but isn't already sold on it.
Okay. Yeah, let's give that out first. So why do you think Pokemon is successful a priori?
I think it's one of the things that makes it successful is just the act of collecting and seeing new things.
And that's like, always been a thing.
Right. And I think it's not just solely in Pokemon games. It's in even card games like Hearthstone or whatever. Like the act of finding something new and knowing there's more that's going to be new later.
Mm-hmm.
And you like working up to stronger things. Like you get to choose. I think also like one of the main like exciting things about Pokemon was that you had to make a choice immediately. You had to make a choice between one of three Pokemon, and that was going to be pretty much your sidekick throughout the entirety of the games.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be working to increase that Pokemon's like, I don't know, it always felt like your pet in a way, and you were trying to level it up and trying to get it better, and you'd also get a bunch of other pets, and you'd sort of form these little bonds with these digital creatures.
Yeah, hold on, let me shut up my pet. Right. Just kidding. yes, I agree. Like, this idea that I wanted to talk about a little bit more was the choice thing. Mm-hmm. Is it really increases the playability, the replayability of the game as well, because you don't get the opportunity of getting those other Pokemon unless you replay the game. And so that was an interesting aspect as well for its, how do you say, play time, I guess, how much you can play it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, continue.
I think another thing that really does it some good is that it's this huge franchise now. It's like just so, so big that everyone knows about it, at least in the US and in Japan. And I mean, potentially, I think it's just all over the world. Everyone knows what Pokemon is. And I think that's also what contributed to Pokemon Go's success, was that you had all these people that not necessarily were into Pokemon, but knew of Pokemon, and then you just got how many millions of people to download it. Like, it was just, I think its name in itself sells a lot of games.
Right. Now it does. So it's interesting how they got to that point. I actually wanted to look up how much it sold during the time of its first coming out.
Right.
Additional 3.58. So it sold 31 million copies since the release. It looks like 10.23 million in Japan and 9.85 in the United States. Okay.
What game?
The Red and Blue, the original. So it actually, when it first came out, it was big as well.
Right. And I think that it's just like, because it became this huge thing, it got a TV show, card game, movies. I've seen multiple Pokemon movies in theaters. And like, you would go and you'd get a special card for going to the movie. Like, I think it was this big phenomenon outside of just the games. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately the games have to pay a lot of respect and pay a lot of their success to the franchise as a whole.
And
I think that's ultimately like one of the things that Pokemon has going for it. Like, even if a Digimon game came out and Digimon's game was better, it wouldn't do anything, right, which is not the case. But if it did, right, it wouldn't matter because Pokemon is the dominant name in this type of genre. It's pretty much the only name in this genre.
It is. That's the interesting thing as well. There are some smaller games you can find on your iOS, like Nexomon, right. Micromon, these really small games. There are gacha games that are very similar to this type of collecting idea that is very big, actually. Like Brave Frontier is one game.
And that was a mobile game, right?
It was a mobile game that I played a lot of for years. And I know you probably remember this even.
Oh, I even played it for a little bit. You got me into it. I just never spent money like you did. Yeah,
I spent a lot of money on it, which is terrible. Right. But my point is, but they did have it. So there are other games, but this is the only one that is standing alone. Because like, you can look at shooter games like, I don't know, Battlefield and Call of Duty.
Right.
And they have a large enough pool for each one. Like, it's divisive.
Like, you choose one or the other.
Yeah. But yeah, for like Pokemon, it just stands alone. There aren't any games that are coming out that is a collecting game, really.
Right.
In this style, or I would say RPG collecting, because there's like Hearthstone, and I'm sure that has a large enough following, or some other card game.
Right.
But this is the only one of its kind.
Like, well, I would almost argue that the Pokemon might own the handheld and console collecting games, but I'm sure that mobile has, like you said, Brave Frontier and other games of that type.
It's bigger than Pokemon, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure in the mobile space, Pokemon is not the biggest.
It may not be for long because Pokemon is coming out, depending on how this one does, they're coming out with their own game finally. Because one of the things is that they never really got into the mobile industry. They have some games like Pokemon Quest. I think your friend Zach plays that a lot. Is it? Quest.
I don't know. But this is also excluding Pokemon Go, because Pokemon Go is obviously like one of the biggest app that ever came out. But in terms of actual like gameplay being similar to a Pokemon game, it's not all the way there. But like something
Pokemon
like
Go will be getting close to that. So at the point that maybe Pokemon Go becomes essentially like Pokemon, then we might have to start reevaluating.
Right.
But it's getting there. It's getting
right.
There.
But you also have to, this is like another thing, and I'm sorry I'm making a tangent of this, but these Pokemon games, like Pokemon Go, isn't actually made by Game Freak, right? So it's essentially, it's other developers using the franchise to build up, they're like reskinning their own games with Pokemon to make them more successful because the name carries so much weight.
Yes. And that's it. So it's like literally you can put the name of Pokemon into your thing and you'll have something successful.
Yeah. If you took Brave Frontier's like gameplay and just wrote Pokemon on it, like that would be, and it would be so far beyond Brave Frontier's success. It'd be ridiculous.
Yeah. So it is ridiculous how much the name's weight carries.
Right. And so I guess getting back to what does it do, right? Like, honestly, I don't know. I don't know that in my personal opinion, it's doing a ton that, like, I would be like, oh, damn, this, because Pokemon is doing this, I really want to buy the next one. Ultimately, I think it's the thing that it's been doing right is it's Pokemon. Like, it stays the same. Idea of capturing little monsters that are cute or badass looking and leveling them up and evolving them. Like, that, just what the base core of Pokemon has been since Red and Blue is the thing they're doing right. I don't necessarily think that they've done enough to keep that formula relevant to me personally.
And I agree with that as well.
But, like, I think that is where just keeping that has kept them going, I think, in a lot of ways.
So what, like, let's go a little bit to the little more nitty gritty details as to why they're being successful.
Right.
So one of the things that I think makes them really successful is that they have, let's see, what should I start with? Let's start with that, the fact that you have to build a community around it in order to collect all the Pokemon. I think that
You have to be playing with other players, in a
sense. You have to be talking to other people. You have to be working together as a group. And the moment you do anything like that, I always find that games become much better.
Right.
When you can add a community into it.
And ultimately, that's what led Nintendo to add, like, the link for Game Boys, right?
Right. Probably. I mean, they did it for... I think they did it when Pokemon came out originally. I think it was
specifically for a Pokemon game.
Well, it'd have to be for the first one. Because it initially came with that idea. Because otherwise, they couldn't trade the Pokemon that were traded. So it came out with it.
Right. So they, like, pretty much developed this technology in a way.
Yeah. And so... because of that, it has this kind of like grassroots movement by itself. Just every time you talk to someone, Pokemon is going to be talked about because you got this community working together. Like, oh, I want this Golem or Machamp, blah, blah, blah. And so when the original came out and they continued this trend going on to other Pokemon, and they even included, so they even streamlined it. So they've always been on the cutting edge, you could say, on this idea. They streamlined it to the point where you can trade online, you know, via... not link cables anymore, Wi-Fi.
But you do have to be still close to the other person, right? Like, I think they're trying to maintain the you have to be in range of the person, not just you can trade from anywhere.
Sometimes. I know there's something called the Wonder Trade, where you can just throw a Pokemon up and then they'll give you a brand new Pokemon in that sense as well. I think you can trade outside of just being up close. I'll have to double check.
Maybe I was thinking about like the DS.
3DS has it where you can trade outside. I'd have to double check for sure.
Right, because I know the 3DS and I think the DS had a thing where it would detect when other DSs are nearby.
Yeah, and that was really cool.
And so you could just trade that way.
Yeah. So Pokemon has really been on the advent on always using the latest things in the DS devices and the Game Boy devices, like pushing its capabilities. So that's another reason why for its success is like whenever they create a Pokemon game, it seems like there is a way to use your DS even further or like more interesting than other ways. Like if you play Shovel Knight, for example, on the DS, which is what I did, that's it. There's nothing else special beyond it. I played it's the just game the itself. Game.
There's no other activity besides that.
And so that's interesting in itself. They have added QR scanners. So they keep adding these type of things that are outside of just the game itself.
Or even the physical Pokeball that you could throw to catch things.
Yeah. And so this is another reason why Pokemon is successful is that they kind of created these mechanics that are outside of just the game itself. And they did that with Pokemon Go. That's one of the biggest reasons why it's successful, is that you can literally catch Pokemon on your phone using this alternate reality. Alternative? I'm using the wrong word.
No, AR. You're right.
Yeah, okay. Alternative reality aspect. So that's one big reason why it was that mechanic. Another reason I've always thought that it was good is that they've always continued with the nostalgia factor. Mm-hmm. So every time you've played a Pokemon game, you can put your new Pokemon into the next one.
Mm.
And this is kind of unheard of for other games. Like Digimon never did this. They've never really done this. where you can take old content essentially and then bring it in. And why is that interesting? It really helps establish this community of this community for battling. So Pokemon is really big in the battling community as well. So the fact that you can actually take your Pokemon from the originals, like 5th, 4th, 3rd, whatever, all the way up to the next one, is another reason why it's successful. It brings back nostalgia, because now you get to play with the Pokemon that you had, that you worked so hard with. Because this whole premise of each of these Pokemon games is that you grind the shit out of your Pokemon.
Right, you make them as powerful as possible. I know there's people that obsess about, like, they'll only, even though all these Pokemon might be the same species, like, some are better than others because they might have, like, a faster reaction time or faster something, and so they'll just grind the same Pokemon over and over until they get the best one.
Yeah. And then, yeah, with the IVs and the EVs you're talking about. IVs, that's the one they care about. Mm-hmm. 100%ing them, because they all have different aspects, so they make it more complicated. I think another successful thing that they did is that they has post-game content. I was very surprised about that, actually, for its time period.
Which really, Pokemon had post-game
content? The very first game had post-content.
Like what? Like
Mewtwo. You can get Mewtwo.
Did that came? So that came out after the game was released?
No. It's like you beat the game, you get credits, and then there's more to do after that.
Oh, so you're saying basically once the game is over, you can continue playing.
Yeah, and this is the idea about its replayability. I guess I can generalize it to more how replayable this game is.
Right.
Because if you start with Bulbasaur, you're not going to be able to get Charmander and Squirtle without trading, so you have to start a new game.
Right.
In order to play with those guys, and so after you beat the game, you can still play it more. You can go play the Elite Four again with different Pokemon, or whatever the league is for each one. It's almost the same formula. So I can say the Elite Four, and it's almost exactly the same for each one. So they had post content for each and every single one that they do, where you can catch Mewtwo, or in the later ones, it was like... what was the most recent one? Oh, what are they called? The Alpha Beasts? It's in the latest one.
Alpha Beasts? What the hell? That sounds like a teenage clothing.
Hold on. I'm trying to... There are these... So in the latest game, after you beat Pokemon Sun, there are these beast Pokemon that you can get that are like very estranged from the game. Okay. They look very different. And so like you're collecting them... in order to Ultra Beasts, that's what they're called, and you're collecting them in order to prevent like these extra dimensional disasters. And so, it's not good. I'm not saying it's good
content. Pokemon's getting a little weird here. Yeah,
yeah. But the point is that there was always more to do after the game, and I think that in the beginning when that first started, that was actually quite unheard of. I don't remember that many games like after the credits. It like saves where you were and then you get to continue your game.
Right.
So I think that's what made it very special in its time, was this idea of like how much you get to play with it.
Right.
Okay. And the last, I think there was one last big thing besides the fact that they created animes and trading card games. Like those are another reasons why it became successful later.
Yeah.
Is that they continue to just like bombard you with merchandise and other type of stuff in order to get you really interested with Pokemon.
Yeah, there was a million and one ways that you could participate in the Pokemon universe. And like if you watched the anime, you didn't have to play the game. If you had the cards, you didn't have to watch the anime. Like it was pretty much, there were a million entry points to get into the series.
Yeah. So That was another. That's probably, I guess, the second biggest reason you could say, besides the game essentially staying the same. That's probably number one. The number one thing is it stays the same. So for each generation, it's you get the same idea that you're collecting. For the second biggest reason, it's that they expanded upon that by creating animes and other things merchandise in order to keep you interested in it and like seeing it outside of just the game itself. Let's see. There was...
They made it into a larger franchise instead of just a video game IP. But also, another thing that adds to all that is that the games and the idea of Pokemon is very child advertisement friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's... Like, there's a South Park episode that makes fun of Pokemon, right?
It's like, shoot.
Chin Pokemon.
Chin Pokemon. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was great.
And, like, it's this notable thing that in the U.S. it became this really huge craze with children, much like Beanie Babies almost, but Beanie Babies was only Beanie Babies, but Pokemon was cards, movies, anime, the games. Pokemon was everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was this ginormous franchise that really advertised towards kids and got kids to purchase stuff and got kids' parents to purchase stuff. So I think that's, I think even though we're putting it second, I feel like it's arguably the first spot. But yes, in terms of just games specifically, I think the games have stayed the same in a lot of ways and are comfortable and nostalgic and allow you to bring bringing Pokemon back from other games is such a big deal to some people. So I totally get where that's really important to how the game is.
This is the third thing. This is the last thing I kind of want to talk about. And I think that's about it. There's other aspects of the game, such as like that they have spinoffs of it for just the games itself.
Right.
And they have these ideas about caring for Pokemon more so now, because before you didn't have these aspects. Like with the second generation, you can get Umbreon and Espeon, which were different from just evolving Eevee with a stone, which was what it was in the original. And those ones you had to like have your Pokemon with you all the time in order to evolve it into the other two types in a certain way. And so like they continue just adding like these new mechanics with like this type of care mechanic. But the big thing I think besides the first two that we talked about is that they base all these games on regions. And it brings a lot of culture to the not only the game but to people. And I think people find it like not only interesting but enriching when you kind of play these games. So just to give you an example, Johto, which was the second one that we played, was based on Japanese culture. And you may recall this because you would see a lot of temples and other type of pagodas.
Sure,
I want to say that's Japanese, but I'm going to be off on that. In other ones, like the most recent one you played is based on Hawaii.
Yeah.
Okay, that one's pretty obvious compared to the
other ones. That one's super obvious, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that is a beautiful aspect to add to the game because it kind of, if you actually have been to Hawaii and then you actually compare it to Pokemon, yeah, it's not exactly the same, but you start seeing some aspects like, wow, this really relaxed island life that is like getting generated from the game, you can feel that in it. And that's how you feel in Hawaii, is like this very relaxing type of lifestyle. You know, they had the Pokemon like Alolan Exeggutor, where it looked like a palm tree,
right?
And I think like, so it had these like regionally interesting stuff in it. There were other ones as well. Kalos was the one I just played. It was based on France. It was really weird because there was a lot of cafes. And so I mean, that was just as a joke, but it adds a lot of aspects and other cultures into the game, and that makes it interesting. And even the next one that's coming out, Generation 8, is gonna be based off of England. So I think it really it brings this like interesting culture to the game that people really like. They're going to be continuing this. I don't even remember what Kanto was. I have a feeling that was United States. I don't know how. Might be the department store stuff, how like it's a big city thing. But anyways, the point is that like they started building off of this and creating all these different cultures into the game. And I think a lot of people play these games for some of that experience as well.
Well, I think it's interesting because I feel like the audience for Pokemon games is very half and half. I feel like there's 50% of the people maybe that don't even know that the regions are based on real places, or like don't even know the special tweaks they've added to gameplay, where if you keep this Pokemon on you at all times, then it can evolve in a certain way. Like, I think that's, it's weird because I feel like a lot of the things they've done right are for a specific audience,
mm-hmm.
and then are missed by the rest of the people that buy the game.
Yeah, I'm only bringing the culturalism part to it because I know I've been on Twitter, and that's like some of the things that they've been shooting up on the official Pokemon Twitter is like how excited they are for the next region. So maybe this is for the older audience nowadays more so than it is the kids that play this.
Right.
So,
or even like just thinking of myself, like if I was to buy a new Pokemon, like the only reason I know some of this stuff is because like other people who are into the game have told me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was didn't have those people to listen to, I wouldn't know any of this stuff. And I just, like, the main draw for me is that it's a Pokemon game. Yeah. Right.
Probably the most recent generation is now the one that you can definitely tell it's Hawaii, though.
Right. So Alola Island was definitely like, okay, this is a little beating you over the head with it. Yeah. I mean, it's Aloha Island. Come on.
Yeah. Their hello was Alola. It was great. Yeah. Okay. So I think that's why Pokemon is successful. I think it's going to be interesting going into these newer generations how they are tweaking some of these ideas. First of all, for the first time, a main generation is going to be on a main console for Nintendo.
Right, for Switch, which is now a console and a handheld console. It almost really matters
now.
Right.
What is a console to
Nintendo?
To Nintendo.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that they're removing is this idea of where you can always include your new Pokemon into the next game.
Right.
And that's a big controversy, at least for the Pokemon community themselves, because I think a lot of people do play these games to can always go to the newest generation and then include their old Pokemon. Because
it's like the ultimate backwards compatibility, and like removing that is kind of slapping a bunch of people in the face. Yeah.
And then, you know, there's a place where you can pay $15, I think, a year is how much it costs to have a server to include all your Pokemon that you had from previous generations and then putting them into your new generation system. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting how that thing is only going to work for 1 through 7, not 8. Which is the new one coming out.
Right. So they're basically, they're blocking their own service from even mm-hmm. working in the future.
Yeah. So it's, and they have some solid reasons why, for people who do know more about this. Their reasoning is that they cannot add all the animations and keep high quality of the game if they added all thousands and thousands of Pokemon that are in the game. And I say thousands, there's really only about 1,000 Pokemon, but there's variations of each one. And so they have to include for that. And if you've played any of these Pokemon games, like here's like the biggest downside to them is that their animations are never full. They're never full animations. It's always like a partial thing.
Right. It's like the sprite moving in a circle or something.
Yeah. It's never been good. At least in my opinion, there've been some cool looking stuff, but it's never been enjoyable to look at compared to other games.
Right.
Like now with Pokken Tournament, you actually get to see full animations of attacking. It's kind of like Super Smash Brothers. Like you get to see Pikachu do all his cool shit now.
Right, it's a Pokemon fighting game.
Yeah, where they only have one Pokemon to animate completely rather than all the 1,000.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is there anything else you want to say about their success? Is there anything you think to add to it? Or do you think that kind of really helps answer the question about Pokemon? Or is there, anything else you want to add?
I mean, ultimately, like I feel like a lot of the more nuanced things that we've been talking about add to the success, but aren't the overall push, right?
No, it was first the game, super nostalgic, 2, continuing nostalgia, 3, anime merchandise, etc. I think that's it, actually.
Yeah, I think it's just
that's
like,
the main.
Right. Like, it's essentially the same reason why Call of Duty sells every year, is that it's Call of Duty, and it's the same thing, but a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And same with Battlefield, same thing. Like, it's these major franchises that can sell because they are what they are. Mm-hmm. Like, a Marvel movie is going, people are going to see a Marvel movie because it's a Marvel movie. It doesn't matter what superhero it is.
Yeah, I saw, I don't like Spider-Man really that much, and I went and saw Spider-Man Homecoming. I think that's what it's right. called.
Yeah, the most or recent one? Far From Away Home. From Home. Far yeah. From Home, yeah.
Yeah, I saw it just because, like, it's going to look really good.
Right, and so even, like, if people like Spider-Man, right, they're going to notice all the details that Marvel threw in there that, like, shout out the fans. Mm-hmm. And same goes for Pokemon. You're going to have, like, oh, these cultures are based on real-life places, and there's special ways to raise your Pokemon that will do special things. But ultimately, it's Pokemon, and that's why it sells, I think.
It sells because it's Pokemon.
Right. That's the easiest way to put it. It sells because it's Call of Duty. It sells because it's Battlefield. It sells because it's Pokemon. It sells because it's Apple.
It was successful once, and that's all it needed. And
it was successful for, you know, at least a decade, and then it kind of solidified itself as a family known name, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just to add into this episode, just to fuck with you. I don't know when, you know, Final Fantasy, man. It was good for a decade, and then it's continuing.
But if you think about it, Pokemon's been around for 20 something years. That's insane.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. There's been other things that have died out a lot faster.
Yeah, so Digimon, Tamagotchi, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's still around, but it sucks.
It is, yeah, but it's basically it's nowhere near where it was. It's gone, essentially.
Yeah. All right, well, I hope you enjoyed this segment of Why is Pokemon Successful? If you think anything we said was complete and utter bullshit, which is almost always the case. Yeah,
there's like a 75% chance that's the case.
I want you to tweet us at BS Games Podcast and give us your opinion. Maybe give your opinions as to why Pokemon is successful. Or maybe you actually think it's not.
Yeah, why you think Pokemon's garbage? I would love to see that argument. I'm in a similar boat. I'm not into Pokemon.
I would love to see that argument of why is Pokemon not
into
not
Final
successful.
Fantasy either, Chase. Just, you know.
But it is successful. You try to argue against it.
But is it good? That's another question entirely.
Oh, yeah. We need to talk about Detective Pikachu someday. Right. And its big success. That'll probably be during the news portion.
Big success, quote unquote. Also, if you don't mind going the extra mile and you want to tweet us and you do that, and that's awesome. But if you want to do us a better one, up your game from tweet to review, please give us a review on wherever you're listening to the podcast. Good or bad, reviews do matter to us. We're a small, growing podcast, and we really need your help to continue to do that.
We'll do it for crack.
We'll do it for crack.
Oh, I said it the wrong way. I said
well, yeah, what? We'll review us so review. We can do crack.
Sorry, I think I meant to say that reviews are like
Chase
crack
will
to us.
Give you money. For Chase will pay people. He's looking for a review bot. Anyone make a review bot, Chase will pay good money.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope you guys loved our bullshit. We'll see you guys later.
See you soon.